Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 16, June the 29th, 2009. Each day we're faced with tests and pressures in this world. There are all kinds of tests and pressures. Health problems are tremendous. We've got people involved with our ministry. One man has a major lung problem that he's had for many years. Old age is catching up with him on top of that. Has a rare disease called sarcoidosis. Pastor friend of mine, local church, and I attend, has prostate cancer. Another longtime friend of mine of about 40 years has prostate cancer. Pastor's just turned 60. The other man's in his upper 70s. One of the men who receives our newsletters back in a nursing home in Ohio is getting close to 90 now. Got his health problems, has had for a number of years. The Lord has not called him home. I could go on and on with other people, other problems. Linda's, of course, headed for more surgery now. She'll have had it probably by the time any of you get these tapes, or about the time you get them. But these are things of life. And what do? We must look to God. We used to say an old song called The Haven of Rest. My soul in sad exile out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I hear a sweet voice saying, make me your choice, entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace and faith, taking hold of the word. My fetters fell off, I've anchored my soul. The haven of rest is the my Lord. Verse 3, the song of my soul since the Lord made me whole has been the old story so blessed. Of Jesus who will save whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. How precious the thought that we all may recline like John the beloved and blessed. On Jesus' strong arm where no tempest can harm, secure in the haven of rest. O come to the Savior, he patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. Of course, again, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. It's interesting that many believers trust the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal security. Yet they won't trust him to help them deal with the trials and tests of this world. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're in the filling of the Spirit and have absolute objectivity teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your Word, for your Word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your word will not return void, but accomplish what you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless it. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and even so come. Lord Jesus, amen. The moment you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a member of the royal family of God. You entered into the royal race, the race of the redeemed. The royal race are those who have believed in Christ and been saved. Now, God the Father created the original races. When he created the original races, though the biological followed the psychological. He said, what are you talking about? Following the flood, Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Out of these three sons came all the lines of the Adamic human race and their wives. I care not what evolutionists say. I care not what anybody else says. Every person alive on the face of this earth is descended down from Noah. And beyond Noah, they're descended down from Adam. But God has a plan. And the only the overt racial structures of the person, but there are psychological structures that relate to trends and things that existed within each of the primary races as they break down into the, are dissected downward into the various divisions that exist today. We all are of one blood, the blood that goes back to Adam. However, with Abraham, God started a separate race, the Hebrew race, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, to prepare a plan for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Father's plan was beyond the scope of human sight, human endeavor. His plan was an eternal plan. Now, in the, but there is within philosophy the concept of race based not upon just simply the physical attributes and the genetic connection, but upon a what they often call spiritual, and understand the separation between the spiritual world related to God and the human spirit, which only the believer has, and the psychological world, which everyone has through the human soul. I'm sorry, the weather's doing crazy things. It was 44 degrees this morning. We've been having 30 and 40 degree temperature switches, and it's played havoc with me. What I was fixing to say was the psychological world of where people are brought together and are united, and they become a people. This is taught in the philosophy. And it's doctrinally accurate in the observation of what is being done, in that a group of people learn to think alike. They have a zeitgeist, meaning literally the spirit or the ghost of the age. And is used from a philosophical term to represent the philosophical spirit that unites a group of people at any given point, any place in history. Now, for the process to go from the biological to the psychological and unite a group, a racial group, into a real people with an identity in a special way, such as the British people in the 19th century, the French people under Napoleon Bonaparte, except the Americans under George Washington. The process has to reach its highest potential at a certain time is necessary. It takes a building of two or three generations. People is a word on a different plane of thinking from the mob action when taken from the philosophical viewpoint. The Gustave Le Bon and René Worms both saw and set forth what has often been called Cartesian clarity, the organic nature of human groups, a superpersonal unit, which is the custody of the destiny of that group. René Worms applied it upward to the state. Le Bon applied it downward to the crowd. You have on one side a group of people who are united at a higher level. On the other side, you have a mob out in the street. Goethe, the German philosopher, said, "Truth belongs to the individual. Error belongs to the ages." Christ said, "You shall know the truth," that is Bible doctrine, "the truth shall make you free." Free from what? Free from human doctrine and satanic doctrine. Divine viewpoint cannot be assimilated with human viewpoint and or with satanic viewpoint. Divine viewpoint, the Word of God, must be pure and held in a clear and understood way. That's been pointed out that the crowd is a people. But the crowd is a people when they are a mob type, are caught up in the personality of the leader of the mob, and they lose their identity to the mob. They lose their ability to think to the mob, and they function like an animal following the leader of the pack. But at the same time, when you take a people at a higher level, they too are caught up and follow a leader. And the unity is based upon a unity of thought and connection, a connection to the leader in agreement. What the difference is that in the higher level, the people are thinking for themselves, understanding and committed. In the other level, they are caught up in an emotional swing. We have a lot of spirituality today that's not spirituality. It's mass psychosis, in which people come under a massive hypnotistic type thing. The music and all the things, and they feel good. And they walk, they go to church. And the guitars play. And I like guitar music. And the horns blow and the drums beat. The pastor says, sing it louder, or the song leader, whoever it is, sing it louder, brother, sing it louder. The people clap their hands and work themselves in the emotional pits just as much as if they were down at some concert watching some rock singer or whatever it is. They give themselves over to the moment and they get themselves an emotional high. And then they walk out the door and their problems hit them over the head like a hammer. And they get an emotional low. We're going to deal today with the doctrine of death as a link between time and eternity. You have to learn to think on a higher plane and on a higher level than most people think on. Philippians chapter 3 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, verse 8, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I remember getting into quite an argument with a man who departed company with me in my ministry some 20 years ago, roughly, 18 years ago. Who was upset, probably 18 years ago. One of the things that bothered him, whatsoever things are true. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians 4:25 said, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for his members one of another. We need to communicate in truth. But the real truth centers around the truth of Jesus Christ. Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. What truth is being spoken in love in Ephesians 4? The truth of Bible doctrine. Verse 12 says, and the work of the pastor brings us to this, as a pastor teacher, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The centerfold of the truth that the Word of God is speaking of is the truth of the Word of God, truth concerning the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and through Him, the entire triune Godhead. We may correctly worship God, worshiping through the filling of the Spirit, through a knowledge and understanding of the person and work of Christ to lead us to the knowledge and understanding of the person and work of the Father. In John chapter 8, Christ said, and He spake these words, many believed on Him. Many got saved. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, these are redeemed Jews now, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. He drew a difference between being born again and being a disciple. And you shall know the truth. The truth there is Bible doctrine. The truth, Bible doctrine, shall set you free. Set you free from what? From human viewpoint. From satanic viewpoint. Yet they used to put that verse on public library without acknowledging often usually where it came from. Our own, or in schools and educational buildings. And they were talking about the truth that God was talking about. They were talking about human viewpoint. Human understanding of something. We have to learn how to think from a higher plane, from the level of relating ourselves to time and eternity. So the doctrine of death is a link between time and eternity, point one. The believer entered experientially into the plan of God at the moment of salvation. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The believer entered experientially into the plan of God the Father at the moment of salvation. We receive salvation by faith in Christ, Acts 16:31. Two, at the moment of salvation, the believer was entered into the Father's plan, which is a plan of grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. Ephesians 1:3-14, a tremendous, one long sentence in the Greek. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen, that is, in the Greek, elected us in Him before the foundation of the world. Sorry, I started turning the page of my Bible stuck together. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ and Himself according to good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. In the dispensation, the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Point three, we came under a mandate of living by faith. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:20. Now, a mediator. Oops, I got the wrong verse there, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 3:11b says, the just shall live by faith. Point four, this faith must come from a knowledge of the Word of God in relationship to each object of the believer's faith. Romans 10:17, faith, the Greek verb form of pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S, is a transitive verb and thus is only as valuable as its object. It must always have an object outside itself. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. For salvation, our faith must be in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to occupy with Christ. He has to be the person that we're looking at. So we occupy with him. That's our faith there. But our faith for daily living must be in the Word of God, the written Word of God, Bible doctrine. We must learn to go and study the Word of God that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Point five, the believer's faith in relationship to eternity begins by the acceptance of the fact that his salvation we received everlasting life, which we cannot lose. John 11:25-26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection of life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Point six. As the believer learns truth from God's word, our faith in that truth leads us to understand the reality of eternal existence of God. And that when the believer seeks after God through a study of the Word of God, God will receive him with eternal rewards. I repeat, as the believer, that's you and I, if we're born again believers, and I assume nobody's listening to my tapes or not, learns truth from God's Word. His faith in that truth leads him to an understanding of the reality of the eternal existence of God. And that when the believer seeks after God through a study of the Word of God, God will reward him with eternal rewards. Hebrews 11:6. The doctrinal translation is my own expanded translation based upon exegesis of the passage. But without faith, it is impossible for us as believers to please God. I want you to think about what I'm saying here. We're saved, but now the Father wants us to have faith in him on a daily basis. Moment by moment basis. Hebrews 11 is what I call the Hall of Fame chapter. Great heroes of the faith, the Hall of Fame of faith believers. Verse 6 is connected to verse 5, Enoch, and verse 4, Abel. The passage begins in 11:1, says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have to have a faith based upon what we're looking forward to and what we're receiving. We have faith that we are redeemed from hell. But we're not only, but it's not just the negative, what we escape the lake of fire and eternal damnation. It's what we look forward to. Moment by moment and day by day. New American Standard translates it, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is described as assurance of reality. This is translated nature in Hebrews 1:3. Look at Hebrews 1:3. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And upholds all things by the word of his power, which he hath made purification of sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The radiance, the effulgence of the flood of resplendent light. The word means an outshining, not a reflection, the exact representation of God's essence or nature. These expressions are a strong assertion of the deity of Christ. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The picture of Christ being seated indicates the finished character of his once and for all sacrificing for sin. Hebrews 10:10-12. And the right hand indicates the place of honor which he occupies as the eternal celebrity of the ages. Now we look with faith, with hope and assurance. Verse 2 says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The New American Standard says, for by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. The men of old speak of the Old Testament patriarchs from the dispensation of Gentiles, such as Abel, Enoch, and Noah. The transition of Abraham from the dispensation of Gentiles to the dispensation of Hebrews, and then Isaac and Jacob and the others listed there. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Enoch was translated, taken out, so he didn't have to taste death as we think of death. Now, Abel presented the sacrifice that God demanded, and God accepted it, the blood sacrifice. Enoch, we're told, walked with God and was no more. And then we read of Enoch, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In the dispensation of Gentiles, without a written Bible, Enoch drew so close to God in walking with God that he was translated out of this world. He was taken down to the paradise of the earth. He was not caught up to the third heaven, as some people teach, because no man hath ascended up into heaven at any time, but the Son of Man hath come down, John teaches. And Scripture does not contradict Scripture. He was taken out of this world and taken into the paradise, the section of the Gentiles, to await the resurrection body at the second advent. My doctrinal translation says, but without faith is impossible to please God. It has to be a faith hope. That's God the Father. And they that come to God the Father through the knowledge of the Word of God must believe that God the Father is, that is, he exists eternally as a sovereign and righteous God, and that he is a paternal rewarder of them who diligently seek him through the study of the Word of God. He will reward us if we seek him through the study of the Word of God. David, despite all his sins, was called a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. 1:7, this occupation with the Father leads the believer to have confidence in the fact that he possesses eternal life, Titus 1:2. And the hope, confidence of the eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Principle. Occupation with God the Father comes only through occupation with Christ. We must understand, first of all, Christological doctrine and become Christocentric thinking, looking through Jesus to seek the Father. I want you to think about what I'm saying to you here. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way to understand God the Father is to understand the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. Verse 18 says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. the divine essence of God in his own triune person, no human in the flesh had seen. God had veiled in angelic form, and our pre-incarnate pictures and appearances in human form had appeared to man. Christ doing it as God the Son. Christophany appearances. The word declare there in the Greek is the word from which we get the word exegete. The New American Standard Translation explained. Hath explained him. C.I. Scofield translates it, led him forth into full revelation. God the Father is our Father, and he wants to have a paternalistic love relationship with us. He has a paternalistic love for us. He wants us to develop appreciation for him as the Father and for his plan, and think on the level that he thinks on. And no man can know the Father unless the Son reveal him, and no man the Son unless the Father reveal him. Christ taught that. We must come in a hope confidence, believing that the Father cannot lie. A promise he made before the world was, Titus 1:2. Sub-point A. This is not just an acceptance of the doctrine of eternal security in Christ, but a confidence this position of security will ultimately and literally produce eternal life. I repeat, this is not just an acceptance of the doctrine of eternal security in Christ, but a confidence that this position of security will ultimately, literally produce eternal life. Now, we need to think like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, means to learn to think like Christ. Keep on thinking the thoughts of Christ. Well, you can't think the thoughts of Christ until you learn the thoughts of Christ. Keep on having the mental attitude that Christ has, the mental attitude of humility, and all this requires the filling of the Spirit. Luke 10:21-22 says, in an hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy soul. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Father will reveal. Principle is one thing to have a knowledge of truth, it's another thing to allow this truth to shape your daily life. This is what I was explaining at the difference when instead of a mob, but being a people, following a leader, but utilizing their own intellect to think and to understand. God has given us the intellect that we can understand. Through the filling of the Spirit, divine viewpoint. Only the Spirit can teach us the Word of God. But God has a system in which he uses pastor teachers to study and teach the Word and communicate it to you so that the Spirit can teach you that. We've covered all this in the past. But you have to come to believe that God wants to have intimacy with me. Subpoint B, this confidence will begin to change the motivations and actions of the believer, 1 John 3:2-3. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even also as he is pure. Do you have a hope? Do you have a hope? Beyond question that one day you're going to have a perfect, sinless, perfect resurrection body. You're going to see Jesus Christ face to face, and you're going to live eternally with him. And your resurrection body is going to be in the similitude of the body of Christ. Very similar to his, except he is the God-man. And he is the leader. we will not have in our eternal soul, and therefore in our eternal brain, all the doctrine that the Son of God has in His. There will be distinctions. There will be degrees of intelligence. The old song, "Further along, I'll know all about it. Further along, I'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Wait on the mark. We'll understand it all by and by." No, we're not going to understand all at one time. We're going to understand a lot of things. We'll come out of the judgment seat of Christ with a lot greater understanding than we have now. We see heaven when we're caught up to the third heaven. We go through death, cross the bridge of dying grace. Or even if we died the sin of death, God forbid that we do that. Hope we don't. None of you do. See Christ and see heaven, we'll see wonderful things, but they'll become real. But they should be real in our souls right now. 4:8. This confidence will lead us to a desire to see Christ face to face. If you believe that one day you're going to be a part of the heavenly family in a sinless, perfect body, never knowing sickness, sorrow, pain, and death no more, that Christ is going to give you a body like He has, and that we're going to have this eternal relationship with God, then this will give you a desire to see Christ face to face. Titus 2:13, looking, that is expecting for that blessed hope. The blessed hope is the rapture of the church. And that glorious appearing, that's the second advent of Jesus Christ. See, there's a gap in there of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This will lead you as a believer to pray for the rapture of the church. Do you ever pray for the rapture of the church? Are you too much caught up in trying to bring in the kingdom of God on earth, which we cannot do? John prayed for the rapture of the church, Revelation 20:21b, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." It is amazing to me how many believers I know that pray for the peace of Jerusalem, taking totally out of dispensational context and everything else the passage in which David said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. David was a king ruling over a nation. He wanted peace in his nation. David had been a king, a war king, fought many battles. Some of them had been internal battles. His son Absalom organized a revolution against him. Before he ever came into power, he had to flee like an outlaw with Saul, the previous king, who was David's king, trying to kill him. We have to learn to get things in right. There will be no permanent peace in Jerusalem until Jesus Christ sets His feet on the Mount of Olives. Jimmy Carter thought he could bring peace to Jerusalem, and he failed. Other presidents have thought they could bring peace to Jerusalem, and they failed. The Pope sent out the Crusaders thinking they could bring peace by the conquest of Jerusalem. There will be no peace, permanent peace in Israel until Jesus Christ sets His feet on the Mount of Olives at the Second Advent. 7 temporal life years before that, the church will be caught up in the heavens at the rapture to be with Christ, and will be gone forever from this earth in the sense of being in the physical bodies and operating the way we work today. God will restore the dispensation of Hebrews, which is set aside for an intercalation period. We will enter the age of the 70th week of Daniel, the age of Jacob's trouble, the age of the tribulation, all names that overlap each other. They're all for the same thing. But we're to be expecting the blessing, hoping to be expecting the rapture, and we should pray for the rapture, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." 4:10, this produces in the soul of the believer a desire to go to be with the Lord, even if it means passing through physical death. This produces a desire in the soul of the believer to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it means passing through physical death. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. We're willing to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. We're willing to give up this body and take the interim body that's in between to be present with our Lord Jesus Christ. principle. Principle. While we as believers are anxious to join the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it means passing through death, we are willing to wait for the Father's time to call us home, 2 Corinthians 5:9-10. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things in the body according to that which he had done, whether it be good or bad. We're anxious to go to be with the Lord, but we're willing to wait. We're willing to be patient. 4:11, this earnest desire to see the Father and to see through the Lord Jesus Christ and through him to see the Father, I should say. This earnest desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ and through him to see the Father, even if it means dying, turns the shadow of death, which is the fear of the unknown, into the anticipation of the beginning of the new eternal day for the believer. We begin to have an anticipation of the new eternal day. Even the Old Testament saints, the Hebrews, had a concept of this to a point, though they knew not nearly the doctrine that we have. Amos 5:8 says, seek him, God, that created the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning of the eternal day, and maketh the day of temporal life dark with night, and calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out. Point 12. The believer is capable of accepting the time, the place, the cause, and cause of his physical death as resting in the safe control of the sovereignty of God the Father. The believer then is capable of accepting the time, place, and cause of physical death as resting in the safe controls of the sovereignty of God the Father. Psalm 68:20. He that is our God is the God of salvation. Unto the God our Lord belongeth the issues from death. Principle, we thank the Father for his being in sovereign control over our individual life and our individual destiny. Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Hell, Hades, there is the place, can represent the abode of the soul in torment, but it does not have to. It can also represent the grave, as Sheol did. Most people are buried in the geographical location in which they die. So I take this to mean, since he's writing to believers, it says in Revelation 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, not to his enemies, but to his servants, the redeemed. Doulos, the voluntary bond slave. That this represents the concept of where we will be buried. The grave representing the which typifies the geographical location in which we will die, since most people are buried where they die, near where they die. End of death, thanatos. Thanatos would be the mechanics of how we die. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We rejoice in whatever we're taken through, because we know soon we'll be with the Lord. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what kind of death I'm going to die. It may be a terrible death. The aches and pains of this body are great at times. But his mercies are renewed every morning. If I will trust in him, he will take me through and give me the ability to endure whatever lies ahead. 1:13, the next step in the believer's comprehension of death is to recognize that physical death is a promotion. The next step in the believer's comprehension of death is to recognize that physical death is a promotion. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die again. Why is it a promotion? Because now we're face to face with Jesus Christ. We received our permanent change of duty station. 1:14, while the believer continues his life in time, he begins to long for the eternal city, which is his destiny. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out of a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him to the same promise, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham spent his whole life waiting for that city with foundations whose maker and builder is God. He had a doctrine revealed to him to understand one day that God would take him into an eternal city. Point 15. At death, the believer is able to see the rewards as he passes through the veil into eternity future. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. A. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all died looking for their eternal rewards. B. At death, they saw afar off these rewards awaiting them. C. Because they believed in these rewards, even while living in time, their desire for eternal living overshadowed all the blessings of temporal life. They were not caught up in this materialistic world as much as they were motivated for the eternal world to come. And this is what you need to understand. 16, the anticipation of eternal living causes the believer to shift his priorities from temporal gain to eternal gain. Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Hebrews 11:2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. By what? By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sub 1A, for the unbeliever, this means eternal damnation. The anticipation of eternal living, the main point, caused the believer to shift his priorities from temporal gain to eternal gain. Now, for the unbeliever, there is no eternal gain. There's eternal damnation. B, for the believer, it means the loss of eternal rewards on the principle of what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul. If the unbeliever conquers the whole world, he dies and goes to hell. What has he got? If the unbeliever becomes a total success in this temporal materialistic world and fails his spiritual life destiny, what does he have? He will be a loser at the judgment seat of Christ. We need to be looking at eternal values. For what profit shall a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? 1:17, the believer comes to understand that earthly wealth produces no security in time. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. 1:17, the believer comes to understand that earthly wealth and even earthly fame cannot endure. 1 Peter 1:24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Matthew 1:19, the believer is motivated to gain eternal rewards, which shifts his values from time to eternity. Matthew 6:20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. 1:20, the believer comes to realize that one thing he shall carry with him beyond physical death is the knowledge he possesses of the Word of God, Bible doctrine. 1 Peter 1:25. For the Word of the Lord endureth forever. The one thing you and I will carry with us into eternity is the Bible doctrine we have resident in our soul. 1:21, every believer at salvation is assigned a guardian angel, and thus this angel will escort the believer through the veil of death. Hebrews 1:14, and they, the elect angels, not only ministering spirits sent forth by God to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Luke 16:22a. It came to pass, the beggar died, he was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. First of all, the word of God does not say these angels will cease to serve you at the moment of your physical death. First of all, when John was given the vision of Revelation, angel was serving him, Revelation chapter 1. We read the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unfailing of Jesus Christ, literally is a corrected translation, which God gave unto him to show unto him his servants. Things which was surely come to pass, and he said and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, a messenger angel. First of all, even when John was recording things in heaven which occurred after the rapture, an angel stood by him, Revelation 4:1. And after this I looked and beheld a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was if it was a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. Revelation 19:10, I fell at his feet to worship him. He said unto me, see thou do it not, and I am thy fellow servant and elect angel of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, a teaching angel. Worshiping God, worship God for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. An angel was sent to teach John there. 1:22. The believer receives the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit at salvation. And the Holy Spirit remains with us as believers when we pass through the veil of death. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have in of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Principle of death is the believer leaves the body of the Holy Spirit, which still indwells the human spirit. And the human soul goes with the believer. 1:23, the Lord Jesus Christ indwells the believer in salvation. Colossians 1:27b, Christ in you, the hope of glory. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ is the hope of eternal glory in you, and thus he escorts you through the veil of death, showing you the rewards he has reserved for you. You and I, at the moment of death, will be escorted through the veil of death. Dying grace allows us to go out filled with the Spirit, occupied with Christ, understanding that Christ is going to be with us because he will never leave us nor forsake us. Point 24, God the Father indwells the believer at salvation, John 14:20. That day you shall know that I am in the Father and you are in me. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus and the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are encapsulated in the triune Godhead. Ephesians 4. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. God the Father is in us all. God the Father indwells us all. Principle, God has promised never to leave the believer, and thus at death the entire Godhead escorts the believer into eternity. Jesus Christ said in Hebrews 13:5b, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And since the Father cannot desert the Son cannot desert us. The Spirit was given to it permanently. They all walk with us through eternity. 1:25, at the moment of death, as the believer's soul and spirit passes out of the body and leaves the realm of temporal life and time, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. 2 Corinthians 5:8b, absent from the body and present with the Lord. What a glorious thing to know that that the moment we die, we will see Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father waiting for us. Acts 7:56, and we'll see in just a moment. 4:26, the spiritually immature believer death sees not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but also God the Father. And for those who receive the highest honors, Christ stands up to greet them. Now think about this. The spiritually mature believer death sees not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but also God the Father. And for those who will receive the highest honors, Christ stands up to greet them. Acts 7:56. And said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." First of all, physical death is simply the believer's living Physical death is simply the believer leaving time and entering the physical presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and the entire Godhead. Oh, how we need to get our priorities in line. How we need to look up and be occupied with spiritual life things and see the glories and the wonders of what lies ahead for you and for me, learning how to faith rest in the Father's promises. Proverbs 3:5, how many times have you heard me quote this verse? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight." New American Standard translation of it. Acknowledge, to know God personally and be in fellowship with Him. Making it straight clears the obstructions and enables us to advance forward. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Bible doctrine is how we advance. It's not service. Service is what we do as we advance. Certainly we're to serve God, use our spiritual gifts and do these things, but Bible doctrine, understanding, to study the Word of God is what takes us higher. When Jonathan Oatman wrote so long ago that song, back about 1926, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm homeward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts and fear arise and fears dismay, though some may dwell where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan darts at me a hurl. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found, Lord, lead me home to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." Father, we thank You that we can understand the wonderful glories of the future that lies before us. Our eternal destiny. We understand it now. From Bible doctrine, we can see what is coming. We thank You for the wonderful grace You have bestowed upon all of us that none of us deserve to have. And we look forward to the day when we are face to face with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In His name we pray, send Him and so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.